You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Elder Oyama Valeshia, and we are talking about Genesis chapter 3. We're looking at the fall and its impact, really. Genesis chapter 3 is the turning point of our existence on planet Earth. And it really has got a serious bearing on who we are today and where we're going to. And so, if I don't know if you've got thoughts about this, you can text us on +27 7347035 20. Continuing with the conversation, Elder, let's take it back in the sense that I was just reading an extract from the book Patriots and Prophets, chapter 3, where Ellen White writes, and she says that on perceiving that Eve was alone, she felt an apprehension of danger, but dismissed her fears, deciding that she had sufficient wisdom and strength to discern evil and to withstand it. And that thing hit me hard, because the reason why it hits me hard is the confidence. She felt apprehension, but then she dismisses it, deciding that she had sufficient wisdom. And I thought to myself, how many times have I found myself in a situation that I thought, I got this. The danger of sin, Elder, let's talk about that.
So there's an analogy that I would like to share with you first, and the listeners, Brother T. There's a story that has been told about this man who had a farm with sheep, out in wolf country. So that could be Serbia, Canada, wherever there are wolves. And these wolves used to bother him and kill his sheep. So one day he took a knife, a double-edged knife, and he sharpened it very sharply. He slaughtered a sheep and he blooded the sheep. So he took out all the blood and put it in a jar. And what he started doing, he put the blade in the blood and he would ice the blade, the blood onto the blade, until the blade was covered by the blood, and the blood became like a popsicle around the blade. He went out and stuck the back of the blade in the snow, where the wolf would be able to find it. That was tormenting his flock. Wolves have very good sense of smell, and it could smell blood from a distance in that winter cold, and it followed the blood scent and it got there. And it started licking this popsicle of blood around this blade. It was cold, so it licked cautiously, you know, and it kept licking, and it felt, oh, this is blood. And it kept licking with a hopeful thought that it will eventually get to the meaty part. As it was licking, the popsicle was getting smaller and smaller and smaller until the blades of the knife were exposed. When the blades of the knife were exposed, it continued licking, and it even started licking more vigorously, because now it started tasting warm blood.
Right, we got cut off right there. Let's get back into that conversation, Elder. You were talking about the wolf now licking that knife, and it was getting into the blade part.
Yes. So the minute the blade started showing, the wolf started licking more vigorously, because now it started tasting warm blood. Because of how sharp the blade was, it cut its own tongue. And eventually the wolf died, because it licked so vigorously, unbeknown to it, that it's drinking its own blood. Eventually it died. And this is how sin is. You know, we venture into dangerous situations with the thought that we will be okay, we will manage it, we have sufficient strength to ensure that whatever may come, we'll be able to deal with it. We put ourselves in places where temptation can find us. We pray, lead us not into temptation, but we go to places where temptation can find us. And we give ourselves this assurance, I am strong enough to overcome it on my own. Maybe I would like to recount three situations. The first is how we choose our spouses. I don't know if everybody has had an opportunity to choose, but how we choose our spouses. Mm-hmm. You know, you find an Adventist choosing a spouse who is a non-Adventist, saying that, no, I know I will be able to handle it. When the Bible is clear, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Mm. But we go there saying, I'll be able to handle it. Mm. And I've heard stories of people saying that it's been 25 years. It's my first time coming back to church. Mm. At last, God made a big breakthrough with my husband for me to be here. Some don't ever have that opportunity. Mm. The second one is choosing friends. And I would like to also add business associates in this one.
Yes.
We have a tendency of choosing worldly friends and worldly associates in our lives. Mm. As young people and as adults, I'm saying that it is fine. I will be able to handle this situation. Mm. And then we are shocked when worldliness starts to creep into our lives. Mm. And we don't understand what's going on. And we are betrayed by those that are around us. And we find ourselves in shady deals because the people that we have put around us, we have said, I am strong enough to handle whatever they are coming with. You know, it's not something we consult God in. And the Bible is very beautiful in teaching us that you actually consult with God for friends and business associates, for God to be the one who shows you to be in connection with. And then the third one is the issue of saying that it is okay. You know, this one is the age old one. I can just sit at home on Sabbath and read my Bible. I'm still worshiping. You know, that is a confidence that says that even by myself, I can still be brought closer to God. When God is so clear to say, do not neglect coming together. Do not neglect fellowshipping, because he knows that in so doing, you will find strength.
That one is a difficult. Those things are challenging, and I'm looking at this whole chapter and I'm thinking, wow, this chapter is so broad. You are even touching on things that I wasn't even thinking of. But let's continue now. Eve,
yes, sir.
The Bible says when she looked at it, she saw that the tree was beautiful. You know that thing. You know this thing, Oyama, makes sense why the Lord says to us in the book, I'm forgetting, in the New Testament, where this, if you think it in your heart, if you look and you desire a woman in your heart, you have sinned. The power, underestimating the power of the eyes is very dangerous, Oyama.
No, that is very true. That is very, very true. That is verse number 6. It says, so when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, a tree desirable to make one wise. It's giving us steps of falling into sin. Because first she said, oh, the fruit is ripe. First and foremost, the fruit is good for food. And then when she looked at the fruit, she said, but this fruit actually looks harmless. It's pleasant to the eyes. It doesn't look like fruit that will kill you if you eat it. And then when she looked at it, it probably twinkled, because now she's looking at it from she's already fallen. Now she's like, if I eat it, I will be wise. It's the progression of her mind. She looked at the fruit and she's like, oh, it's ripe. And then from it being ripe, she's like, actually, it doesn't look bad. You know, it doesn't look like it can kill me. There's nothing wrong with it. How often do we find ourselves saying that? But there's nothing wrong with watching soccer on the Sabbath. You know, but there's nothing wrong with me, you know, sitting with my friends at the bar. I don't drink alcohol. There's nothing wrong with it. that's the progression of sin. It's a step-by-step movement where you make a decision to say, it looks ripe, but there's nothing wrong with it. And then eventually you are like, actually, this is desirable to make one wise.
Yeah.
Meaning, this, if I want to be wise, this is the route that I should go. Mm. And she, and then it says that she took off the fruit and she ate it.
Mm.
So by the time she took off the fruit, she had already accepted the words of the devil that says, in the day thou shalt eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God.
Wow.
So when it says that a tree desirable to make one wise, she basically was saying that this can make me like God.
And you know, when you were talking about it, in my mind I was busy thinking, wow. You know, when you spoke about the progression of sin, the progression of sin is also accompanied by this foolhardy thinking that says, as we alluded to says, I think I'm able to overcome this. There's a growing sense of confidence. Number one, we've got a sense of self-confidence. And number two, what hits me is we focus on our personal reward more than we focus on our relationship with God. And this is what Eve focused on. The personal gain that she thought she would attain vis-a-vis her relationship with God.
Hey, well, that's a powerful one, my brother. That is a very powerful one, because really that's what we always think, that we are going to gain something, that there is something that we are going to receive. But how sad, because when it says then she also gave to her husband with her and he ate, then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked. So instead of gaining, instead, the realization that came is that we have lost instead of gaining. And how often do we find ourselves, after falling into sin, realize that we have lost instead of gained?
Yeah, you know, you know, this one hits hard, definitely. It hits hard. And what's up with this thing that when we fall into sin, we act like, no harm intended. We act like these foreign traders who then get into your DM and say, you want to make money, come and follow me. What's up with this thing of recruiting people into sin? Because Eve has eaten. And she goes straight to Adam and she's like, now I'm going to eat. What's up with this thing about us recruiting people into sin?
You know, we remember we have to choose a master. Unfortunately, people who fall into sin usually think that they've attained mastery of themselves by going into sin. Because I was disobedient to God's word, I am now the master of my own destiny. Until the devil comes to you and says, no, you are incorrect. You are my servant now. Now you must do my biddings. Now you must do my work. Go and recruit others. And sin is misery. It lacks company. You know, you don't want to be alone in your sin, because now the master that you have signed up for is a hard taskmaster. He won't let you go easily until you do the work that he wants you to do for him.
Hey, I would say it's hard. It is hard.
Yes.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.